Created with free version for non-commercial use.
San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Sunday, March 17, 2024. Today's lesson is Opportunities Abound with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. So, we always know what we need to know when we need to know it. And right now, let us remember that there's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And we call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. Right here and right now, we are within this space that is the presence of the divine.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Being right here, being in, having God in, through, and as us, gives us every opportunity that we can conceive of. Everything we can think of can come true. You know, Disney has all these different songs about making your dreams come true and wishing on a star. And those are all really cool songs. But you need to step back from the outer experience. Not wishing on a star, but knowing beyond knowing that everything that we need and desire is already provided for us. Now, in Disney movies, they make that rubbing Aladdin's lamp to get the genie to come out and give you everything. It's wishing upon a star. It's
created with free version for non-commercial use.
But it all starts with the one thing, that desire within. That desire within for just the chance, just the opportunity to be who we truly are. To give of ourselves, to be one with different communities. I am again, amazed that I'm amazed, but I'm still amazed that the opening meditation and the words presented today by Noble, some days by Reverend Mark, it's like you're getting a preview of my talk. And I know for a fact that they were not here when I was putting the final touches on it last night and this morning. And I know they did not open up my notebook and preview it.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
It's that one mind. It's that one mind. We're in the month of involvement, and one of the things that Noble mentioned in his opening remarks was that everyone who is here, everyone who visits us, everyone who comes, senses the unconditional love, and that when they are here, they are embraced in the energy of unconditional love, and that's true. It's true. Involvement means participating, not just observing. However, coordinators, people who put things together, sometimes when you see a big event, you'll see somebody standing on the side just watching.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
What are they doing? Well, they're the coordinator. They're the one who had the plan. They're the one who made sure all these different things happened. And they're the one that's standing back, making sure that if anything needs additional support, additional staffing, whatever needs to be done, that coordinator will observe because they know what's supposed to be going on. And they will then step in to make sure that whatever needs to be done is done. Whatever needs to be said is said. Whatever needs to be heard is heard. That's participating too. So yes, they are completely involved. Lord George Byron was an English poet, and lots of stories about him, but he did say some very wise
created
things.
With free version for non-commercial use.
To have joy, one must share it. Now, I don't know what it was you said earlier, Noble, but when you said it, I thought, hey, that's my Byron quote. To have joy, one must share it. We are here. We are sharing our experience. And we are the very love that God is. We are sharing that love wherever we go. When we participate in a conversation, we are sharing part of our essence. We are one with all. We are embracing the love that we are and sharing it with others. I think it was Margaret Mead that said something on the order of...
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Some people think that a few people can't change the world, but in truth, that's the only way the world gets changed is by a few people. Now, I'm really, really not quoting. I'm explaining what the quote is, and I don't remember the exact quote, but it's basically, we think that maybe we as an individual or we as a small group can't make a difference. Small groups are the way all differences start being made. Somebody has an idea. Somebody has a vision. They mention it. Other people get involved. They participate. It doesn't take the entire world doing everything as one. In fact, I don't think that's
possible.
Created
with free version for non-commercial use.
It takes people committed to their piece of the vision. What is your piece of the vision? What are you being called to do? What is being revealed to you as something that is maybe not unique to you, but that you have a unique knowing about that you can share with somebody else or with a group. And that group can share it with another group. And they can share it with two groups, and they can share it with two groups, and, you know, on and on and on. And that's how we make change. Does anybody know who Charles Kettering is? Okay, so Charles Kettering was
created
an American
with free version for non-commercial
and
use.
Engineer, and he lived from 1876 to 1958. He said, "The world hates change, yet it is the only thing that has brought progress." The world hates change. I can't say that he's wrong. Because everybody likes their own comfort zone. Everybody likes their own little protected area. Here I am, I'm doing my own thing. Don't you dare make me do something else. Because if you're going to try and make me think something new, make me grow, make me expand, make me see something bigger, well, then that just means that you don't approve of me as who I am. Not exactly. When we share something new, it's not because we disapprove of who the person
created with free version for non-commercial use.
We are sharing something new because we are excited about this thing that is new to us, or that here is a person who hasn't heard of it, and yay, we get to tell it again because everybody else we know already knows it. So it is an opportunity to share who we are, how we are. It's an opportunity to share joy, which of course makes us more joyful. So why do I care about Charles Kettering? Okay, he lived from 1876 to 1958. Can you imagine all of the different changes, not only that Kettering saw, but that he was involved in? How could he just be
created with free version for non-commercial use?
Well, he was the inventor. He held 186 U.S. patents, and he was the vice president and director of research at General Motors from 1920 to 1947. Now, was that a time of great change or not?
Yes.
Yes. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Remember how when cars first were made, there was a crank on the front and people would have to go out and crank, 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 vroom. Or actually, it was probably crank, 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 sputter, sputter. What Kettering did was he invented the first self-starting engine. So you didn't have to go out there and crank, you could push a button. And then
created
that
with free version for non-commercial
not just
use.
Pushing a button but using a key to start the car. You know, General Motors owns Cadillac. This first came out in Cadillacs in 1912. An amazing invention. I am so glad I don't have to go out there and crank the front of my car. I mean, heck, it was hard enough trying to start a gas lawnmower pulling that thing. Which is why I don't have gas yard tools. They are all electric. And I have a very, very, very long pair of extension cords. So I can take extension cords and go from one end of my yard, 175 feet, to the other end of my yard. So
created so with covered. Free version for non-commercial use.
Now, some of his other inventions, he made an incubator for premature infants. What does that have to do with a car starter? Electronics and a creative mind. He made coolants for refrigerators. Electronics, creative mind. He made portable lighting systems for farms. So you could set up your lighting system when you had to be outside after dark. Which was, you know, much more effective than little lanterns and torches and, you know, so yeah. Electricity opened a lot of doors for us.
Excitement created with free version for non-commercial use.
A lot of doors for us and gives us opportunities to get involved with something. Kettering came up with a treatment for venereal disease. Off the wall from electronics. He also, looking at what can better the human race, he made prototypical magnetic diagnostic devices. So he probably had the first one before Bones in Star Trek, you know, just ran his little scanner over people and said, well, you know, clearly it's this long drawn out detailed something, something, something that only my little magnetic healer thingy here can fix. US patents. That's a lot.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
That means he was always thinking. He was always open to receive, always curious, always sharing, always communicating, always looking into things. We all do that in the areas we're interested in. Did you know that? That you are constantly looking into the things that interest you. If you love hunting, you're looking at things surrounding hunting. If you love interacting with people, you're looking for opportunities to be around people. If you're seeking an education, you are focusing your curiosity in a specific area for now. That doesn't mean that's the only thing you're ever going to focus on in your entire life. When my kids were little, I focused on little kids.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
I do not have a childproof house anymore. But that's okay. You know, most of my grandkids are old enough for that not to be a problem. And the other one is in Florida. So just imagine all of those changes, all of those things that Charles Kettering has seen. A couple of other things I want to share with you. In the Daily Word for November 4th of 2017, it says, "I give of my love, my wisdom, and my creativity. And I am abundantly blessed in return."
Let me say created that again. With free version for non-commercial use.
I give of my love, my wisdom, and my creativity.
I give of my love, my wisdom, and my creativity.
And I am abundantly blessed in return.
And I am abundantly blessed in return.
And so it is.
And so it is.
We are blessed. Every time we give anything, every time we give a gentle thought to someone, every time we give a smile, we are being involved with whoever we're thinking about, whoever we're smiling at. The world hates change, yet it's the only thing that has brought progress. I like change that
created
I
created with free version for non-commercial use.
I read this week, somebody was talking about what freedom is. And they said, freedom is not being free to do whatever you want to do. Freedom is being free to not be forced to do something you don't want to do. And I thought, whoa, there's my answer to all the people who say, well, if I've got freedom, I should be free to do whatever I want to do. And instead of go through the whole science of mind, religious science is explanation, except that it harms no one. Always we have to have, you can do what you want as long as it harms no one. So this other view of freedom as being free to not be forced to do something I don't want to do, that just makes a whole lot more sense.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
A whole lot more sense. Because there's a whole lot of things that I think, well, I should be free to do that, and I am. I am free to do whatever I want to do as long as I am willing to face the consequences of whatever I do. I could travel to Europe, but if I rob a bank to get the money to do that, you know, there are consequences. One of the opportunities we have just today is we are blessed this afternoon. Noble Benning, our lead practitioner, is going to be presenting the Living the Four Agreements workshop. Now, Reverend John Pileski taught the four agreements.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
To adults getting out from prison on parole or probation. He taught it to fellow ministers. He taught it to our church. He taught it at different churches. He taught it off and on for years and years and years. And do you know what? Noble Benning attended every workshop, every study group, every class that John presented on the four agreements. You may not think I noticed that. But I did. So when it came to who shall we ask to teach this material, who lives it and breathes it, that I know did so for decades.
Created with John, free version for non-commercial use.
Duh! It's Noble! So we are blessed that Noble is presenting this afternoon. And that is an opportunity for us to re-embrace these vital teachings that change our lives. They change our lives. It's Toltec wisdom, but it is expressed in a way that makes absolute sense in our everyday life. I'm attending. I'm excited. So I'll see y'all there. I have a story I want to share with you. It is the story of Stone Soup. Some of you have heard it before. This story, it is the ultimate
created with free version for non-commercial use.
So here it goes. There are several versions of this children's tale, and the following is my favorite. Many years ago, three soldiers, hungry and weary of battle, came upon a small village. The villagers, suffering a meager harvest and the many years of war, quickly hid what little they had to eat and met the three soldiers at the village square, wringing their hands and bemoaning the lack of anything to eat. The soldiers quietly spoke among themselves, and the first soldier then turned to the village elders and said, "Your tired fields have left you nothing to share. So we will share what little we have. We will share with you."
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
"How to make soup from stones." Naturally, the villagers were intrigued, and soon a fire was put to the town's greatest kettle. And the soldiers slowly dropped in three smooth stones. "Now this will be a fine soup," said the second soldier. "But a pinch of salt and some parsley would make it wonderful." Up jumped a young villager, shouting, "What luck! I have just remembered where some may be stored," and off she ran, returning with an apron full of parsley and a nice big turnip. As the kettle boiled on, the memory of the village improved. It wasn't long before a bounty of barley, carrots, beef, and cream had found their way into the great pot.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
And even a giant cask of wine was rolled into the village square as all sat down to feast. They ate and danced and sang well into the night, refreshed by the feast and their newfound friends. In the morning, the three soldiers woke to find the entire village standing before them. At their feet lay a satchel of the village's best cheese and breads, along with a wide variety of vegetables and even a bottle of their finest wine. An elder of the village approached the three men and said, "You have given us the greatest of gifts, the secret of how to make soup from stones, and we shall never forget your kindness." The third soldier turned to the crowd and said, "There is no secret to this demonstration."
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
"But this is certain. It is only by sharing our true nature and our authentic selves that we are able to trust one another, and through that, understanding. We can then share our blessings and good fortune with others." Stone soup. So these soldiers came to a village where the people were dispirited, where they had learned that anybody who comes to their village takes away from them. So they were hoarding, hiding the good that was in the village. And what these soldiers did to start out is they acknowledged the story. "Your tired fields have left you with nothing to share." What he's saying
created with free version for non-commercial use
have left you with no trust. What he's doing is he's setting the tone of understanding and sharing with love. He's honoring them. He's saying, "We get it. We get it. So we're not asking you for anything. We are going to share something with you." And they started with the sharing of the soup from the stones. Everybody would have sat around there watching the stones boil and having some kind of a real watery broth of dirt. But the opportunity was presented. You know, this is going to be a fine soup. But salt and parsley would make it wonderful if we put something else
created with free version for non-commercial use.
All of us to share. That good will be shared with all of us. And so that's how the things wound up in the soup, one by one. People realized that this was not a loss. This was a net gain. They were all going to be blessed by the things that went into this pot. We are all going to be blessed by those things that we contribute, that we become involved with. In the story, it says they ate and danced and sang well into the night. To have joy, one must share it. Thank you, Lord Byron. And then the conclusion, of course, they say, "Hey, you taught us the secret of how to make soup from stones."
Not created with free version for non-commercial use.
What really happened? And so the soldiers explained there was no secret. There was no secret. It is just a demonstration of abundance and love. When we can trust, when we can express our true nature, when we can be our authentic selves. I like to think that we here at the center are always expressing our authentic selves, that this is a safe place to be who you are. This is a safe place to be loved. This is a safe place to walk in and sit in a chair and not speak. It is a safe place to walk in, stand in the corner, and yammer on. It is a safe place.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Accept everyone here as God expressing. Heck, if you're going to accept me as God expressing, why not accept everybody else? There's somebody else that I want to bring up. His name is Charles Eisenstein. And he wrote an essay. I love the title of this essay. The Age of We Need Each Other. It's the age of we need each other. And what he had done is through all his studies, he decided that he had this great message. And so he was going to write a book. And it was going to go out to the masses. And it was going to change the world, this book that he was going to write. So he wrote his book. And nobody wanted to publish it. And he thought, well, clearly the publishers
created with free version for non-commercial use.
So he self-published it. And he had some sales, and along about the third or fourth month, his sales were 5 books. And so he thought, what's going on here? And in a dream, a voice came to him and said something on the order of, you're going about this all wrong. You're trying to become famous. You need to focus on the message. And so that was where Eisenstein said that he started to lose his ambition as a result of this. He wrote, that
created
was part
with
of
free
the
version for non-commercial
use. The first part was the disintegration of personal ambition. The second part was the disintegration of the ambition to do big things to change the world. I began to understand that our concepts of big impact versus small impact are part of what needs to be healed. That we celebrate people who are out there, you know, the speakers, the Oprahs, the Deepak Chopras, the Michael Beckwiths, you know, all, we celebrate them. And what do we do about the person who is staying at home, taking care of somebody, being a loving caregiver? What do we do? Do we ignore it? Who are we to say one is more important than the other?
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Eisenstein, in his essay, told us that opportunity and involvement isn't measured by how many you touch, but by how many feel touched by your presence, your teachings, your love. He wants us to let go of scale, but remember that spirit must expand and create, because that's the inherent nature of all things, to create. So whether you're doing something that you think is huge or it's just me coming up here and delivering a message this morning, it is spirit's nature to create. And there is no big or little. There is no scale. It is simply spirit.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
We need to be excited and grateful for our center and for everyone in it. I want us to focus on being loving and being grateful, because where we put our attention is what grows. Where we put our attention is what grows. We are giving of our love and wisdom and our creativity, and we are abundantly blessed in return. And last but not least is my visual aid. This is a carrot. It is what, 4 inches tall? Big around, so yeah, I can't get all my fingers around it. It's
created with free version for non-commercial use.
And it has 1, 2, 3, 4 different ends pointing off in different directions. When I first saw it, I thought it looked like Gumby or something. an instant, I thought, creativity. This is absolute creativity. This carrot, if it was conscious, was having all these different ideas about how it wanted to grow. Did it want to have an arm? Did it want to have a big ear and a little ear? Did it want to have a pointy nose? What did it want? What was it going to be? And still be a carrot. When I cook this and I eat it, it's still a carrot, no matter what it looks like.
And it created with free version for non-commercial use.
It wants to be and still fulfill its purpose. That's who we are. We can be as creative as we want to be and still fulfill our purpose. So, Season for Nonviolence today, I will work to help others resolve differences. I hope that this lesson helped you resolve some inner difference that you were discussing with yourself inside your own head. Because I don't think I'm the only one that does that. I think we all consider different options. And let go of looking at how famous can I be by doing this amazing thing.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
And realize that amazing thing is very personal for you and for those who experience it with you. So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.